ain't got and start thanking God for what you have got. Amen. There's that. There's the ain'ts and the saints. Amen. I want to be one of the saints. Amen. Amen. Daniel chapter 3. Not going to keep you long this morning, which that don't mean anything, but here you go. That's right. Daniel chapter 3, verse 10. Let's just start at verse 8. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. There's always some folks around here going to accuse you. There's always somebody around here that's going to try to eat you up. There's always somebody around here that's going to doubt your motive. There's always somebody around here that's always going to try to clean you up and clean your clock, no matter what you do. So just go and get ready. There's going to be people that don't like you. There's going to be people that try to hurt you, no matter where you go, no matter what you do. Do you know there's a 20% of the people that you meet. It is a psychological fact. 20% of the people that you meet will never like you. And we spend 80% of our time trying to get them to like us. And it aggravates us. Amen. Matter of fact, do you know your spouse can only fulfill about 80% of your needs? Only about 80. They can't make you happy. They can only fill about 80% of your needs. And the problem is, we start looking for somebody that we see the other 20% in. And we jump the fence and find out that 20 was not worth trading that 80 in for. Amen? Amen? So here we go. Get ready. So, here we go. That was freebies. Amen? Then spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made the decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whosoever falleth not down and worship it, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. And there are certain of the Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, has not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they be brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spake unto them, saying, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready that at the time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, well, since you put it that way, there you go. That's right. Amen. We are not careful to answer in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Stretch forth your hands this way, ask God for a special touch and anointing. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that we are living in the last days. I thank you, God, that this is the last roundup. I thank you, God, that there's something special taking place in our midst, even right now. Although we may not see it, although we may not even sense it, your spirit is hovering in this church right now. Your spirit is moving through this place. And Lord, those that are already come in weary and tired, you are offering and showing your compassion and your mercy, and you're lifting them up and strengthening them. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, help us be ready. Lord, for these days, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is here. And we thank you, Lord, that we can have the same answer they had. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated. On the way down, get somebody a high five, or four and a half, or four and a quarter. Give them a high five and say, have the faith, brother. Amen. Now I heard the story about there used to be this bully who would demand this guy's lunch money every day. And since he was smaller, he would give it to him. And then he decided to fight back, so he started taking karate lessons. But then the karate lesson guy said he had to start paying him $5 a lesson. So he went back to paying the bully. It was cheaper. That's what some of us have done. We've gone back to paying the bully. We've gone back to giving in. We've gone back and because of that, we no longer serve God or search God or strain for what God's got for us. And so here it is. I said, give me a high five. Amen. Give me a high five. Faith, facts. Amen. Faith, facts. I can't even talk. Praise the Lamb of God. Now, here's what I want you to see now. There's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Jesus. They're all walking around in the fire. So now, let's just stop here for a little while and camp out here for a while. How many here is drained? Does that look like your life? See that? Feel like things are going down the drain. You're trying hard, but the harder you try, the worse it gets. You try to make forward. You try to make two steps forward, and you take four steps back. It seems like everywhere you turn, the enemy's there waiting to meet you, and he's there to hit you. Let me tell you something about this. Satan desires, I want you to watch this now, Satan desires to strain us, to drain us, and to rearrange us. If he can strain us, if he can drain us, then we're talking about rearranging. What I mean by rearranging, he can get us seeing God in a different way and get us seeing our situations in a different way. And actually, he can get us looking as though we are, listen, instead of being on the offense, he puts us on the defense. Instead of us being fighting a good fight of faith, instead, we are being hammered everywhere we turn. You see, Satan primarily wants to destroy our faith. You know, faith requires us to take a stand in this last day. Sometimes we take a stand by being still and waiting on God. And sometimes we have to not only not stand still and wait on God, but sometimes we have to stand up and take the bull by the horns. And what Satan would like to do is to destroy our faith. Because Satan knows this for a fact, and that is, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, I'm not just talking about some kind of faith where I'm believing for God to send me a brand new car or I'm going to do this and God's going to do that and blah, blah, blah. Yes, I believe in faith. And yes, I believe in sowing and reaping. I believe in all of that. And I do believe when you sow a good seed, you're going to receive back a good harvest. I believe all of that. But at the same time, here's what's important. We've got to know that, watch this, without faith, it's impossible to please God. James 2 and 26. I like what it says. Just as a person's body that does not have a spirit is dead, so faith that does nothing is dead. Let me ask you a question. Are you at the point where you want to do nothing? Wow. Have you been hit so hard, you wore out, whatever it may be, something's come your way, it's hard to take, you seem like you're taking the whole load, and it feels like, you know, you're pulling the whole ball of wax, and the person with you, your mate's not doing what they're supposed to be doing, or one kid's doing something, another kid isn't, and all this stuff, and you see all this thing, and it gets to the point where, you know what, I'm so tired, I'm just going to do nothing. The Bible says, just as a person's body that has a spirit, that has no spirit, is dead, so faith that does nothing is dead. Matter of fact, Mark chapter 2, when the four guys carried their buddy in that was paralyzed, said when he saw their faith, they went through the ceiling and they brought their friend down. When he saw their faith, first he forgave him of his sins and then he healed him. So now, let's go quickly through this thing. Here it is again. Just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Now again, a lot of times we think that's got to do with I'm wishing for a new car and I'm wishing for a new house. No. This is every day on the road, rubber meets the road. Now it's my chance to shine at work. Now it's my chance to say my blessings in front of people. It's now my chance when somebody is doing something very off-colored and I can make a difference. Say, no, I'm not going to do that, and I don't. Then guess what? That's faith without works. Amen? You got to take a stand. Amen? So watch this. Watch this now. Watch. Here it is. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answer King Nebuchadnezzar, Your threat, I love this translation, I love it. Here's a modern translation. Your threat means nothing to us. If you throw us in the fire, the God we serve can rescue us from your roaring furnace and anything else you might cook up, O King. But even if he doesn't, it wouldn't make a bit of difference, O King. But we still wouldn't serve your gods or worship the God statue that you set up. Now, I want us all to say this together, and I want you to mean this. I want you to say it to Satan right now. Your threat means nothing to us. Y'all say it with me. Your threat means nothing to us. If you throw us in the fire, the God we serve can rescue us from your roaring furnace and anything else you may cook up, O King. But even if he doesn't, it wouldn't make a bit of difference, O King. We still won't serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you set up. Come on, everybody. It's time to say, God, whether God does it or not, we're not giving in. My heart was broken last night. Broken last night. I was praying for Brother Benny and all those other guys as they were doing that search for that little 3-year-old girl. And we went in and sat down to get some supper on the way back to the house. And all of a sudden we're watching Channel 9 and all of a sudden it broke in and said that as far as the evidence was, the little girl was dead. And then a few hours later come and said the girl, they had found her body. My heart was broken. I was right in there at the restaurant and I was crying. I was wiping the tears out of my eyes, and I said, what kind of world are we living in? And I said, God, please, whatever, God, help me be man enough to stand up to junk like this and still be called a Christian, praise the Lamb of God, and let the world know there is a standard and there are people that will stand up and take a stand against mess like this. Amen. So I watched this, and this morning I got up again, and my heart was broken. My heart was broken because we laid a valiant soldier to rest last week. When we laid Burton to rest, that got to me. That got to me really, really hard. I began to think about, as these people are going on to their reward, we have to pull the standard. We have to lift it. Amen. So watch. High five. I like to think about this. When Stephen was being stoned, the Bible says that he saw Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. The Bible says when Jesus went up to the Father, he sat at the Father's right hand, meaning that there was no more sacrifices had to be made. He sat. The high priest could never sit. The priest could never sit in the temple because they always were making sacrifices. But when Jesus went to the Father, he sat at the right hand, meaning that his sacrifice was sufficient. They didn't have to make any more sacrifices. But when Stephen sees Jesus, he's standing at the Father's right hand. That was that part of intercessor. He's standing at the Father's right hand. But also I like to think about it, a thing. Jesus standing up, I like to think of it like giving a standing ovation. As a matter of fact, when he said he saw up and he saw Jesus standing, I can see Jesus giving him a high five. You did it, son. You got it going on. You didn't give up. Even though it meant your life, you kept on going strong. So watch this. I did some high fives. All right? High five number one. Watch this. This is not your standard Christmas message, I can tell you. Matter of fact, if you're coming for Christmas, this is not it. Amen. High five number one, we are not careful to answer you. Satan wants to intimidate us, to make us think how big and powerful and strong he is. And he is, but he's nothing compared to Jesus. Nothing. Watch this. We need a faith that cannot be intimidated or threatened and does not give in to pressure. How long has it been since you were willing to go that extra mile? How long has it been since you were willing to step up and hold on stronger than ever before? How long has it been since you refuse to be intimidated by the odds, to be intimidated by whatever's coming against you, just to lay down and play dead? You see, the king was trying to intimidate them. That was his whole purpose. I'm going to intimidate them. I'm going to intimidate them into what I want them to do. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I like these words here. That word fear is timidity, which means faithless. It also means fearful. Also, that word power means dunamis, the ability to do what you normally couldn't do, and love, the ability to love the unlovable. But the best one that I call it all the time, this is my promise I stand on all the time. He's not giving us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, the ability to think clear. But if you really trace it down in the Greek, watch this. It's the ability to think clear under pressure. The ability to think clear under pressure. I used to pray that all the time. God, help me think good under pressure. God, help me think good under pressure. Help me, Lord, to be able to not be knocked down when the pressure's on. And I didn't realize that's why all that pressure was coming against me. Why was pressure coming against me? Because God was teaching me to think clear under pressure. He didn't just look into my head and drop it in there. He was letting the pressure come. Even right now, if you got a lot of pressure on you right now, you feel like you can't even think, guess what God's doing? He's teaching you. He's showing you how to hold on to His hand and to trust Him and give you the ability to think under extreme pressure. So high five number one, we're not careful to answer you. We're not going to be intimidated. High five number two, there's only five, so you know we're getting close. Kind of, maybe, sort of. High five number two. If it be so, we need a faith that can stand in reality, in the face of reality. Whenever we went to Pit Detention Thursday night, whenever I go to Pit Detention or whenever I go to the funeral home, that's two places that I've learned to face reality. Pit Detention, those guys will be in there. Some of those guys, you might not, I mean, again, you think they're in there working out with weights and watching TV and having a good time, and no, these guys are getting two hot meals a day and a sandwich at night. Some of these guys are in an 8x8 room and that's it. They get out 1 hour a day, 23 hours they're locked down in that place. Even the ones that are together, other than the trustees, they don't see any sunshine. They get those two hot meals a day, and they get that cold meal at night, and they're locked up in their cell for so many hours. They're allowed to come out of their cell for so many hours, but they don't get they're not doing all this stuff that you see on television because it's a detention center. And there's some guys there pulling a life sentence. They're pulling a life sentence there. That's something. Now. I had a guy one time say, man, you need to pray for me. You need to pray for me. He said, I'm looking 25 years, 25 plus years. I'm looking life. You need to pray for me. And I was praying for him, and I was trusting him. We were trusting God to do something. And I come back the day after his trial, and he said, I got 12 years. I said, I'm sorry. He said, don't be sorry for me. He said, I spent the last 5 years in here with nothing. He said, at least now I'll be in prison where I can work out with weights and watch TV and go out in the yard and play. He faced reality and tried to make something good out of it. You see, Satan does have the power to bring the heat on. He's got it. You can sit back there and say he don't all you want to, but then you're under the fire and you wonder, why in the world am I doing this? Why am I letting this get to me? Because he does have the power to bring the heat on. He's Satan. He is the most powerful angel God ever created. But our faith needs to face the reality that although he brings it on, we can get through this. Whatever he brings, we can get through this. You know, I remember this young lady, she was so full of faith. I watched her so full of faith, and I saw her and her husband, and they started in the ministry, and everything was going good, and then she got MS. She's my age. She got MS. And next time I saw her, she was a nurse. The next time I saw her, she was on crutches. And then a couple of years later, I saw her, and she's in a wheelchair. Next time I saw her, she was bent, twisted. And I walked up to her and I thought to myself, God, she's doing your work. She's working for you. She's really got herself sold out to you. Why is this going on? And the Lord spoke to me and said, she's doing more for me now than she could ever do for me if she was healthy. because the attitude she has can't be broken. You see, our faith needs to face the reality that we may go through the fire. Isaiah 43 and 2, it says, when you go through the deep waters, I'll be with you. And when you go through the river of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Wow. Again, every time I go to the funeral home and the nursing home, even the hospitals, especially when I'm in the emergency room and I get pulled in and said, we've got to have a conference, family conference, and all of a sudden I get pulled in there, I say, wow. You know, I lived in Benson, D.C. will remember this, that I get called all the time. I was a chaplain at Betsy Johnson Hospital in Dunn, and I was in the core group, and so there was times I get called in, and I'd stay there all day long. I remember getting called there one day. I got called there in the morning. A lady traveling through had a heart attack. She was Catholic. She was in the emergency room, first floor. Then the second floor, there was another lady that she had cancer. And then on the third floor, there was another man who was having pneumonia. And they went on down, it was like three or four. Every floor, there was somebody on there. And that day, I stayed there, going from floor to floor to floor. But you know what? And then the Catholic priest came in. And when the Catholic priest came in, we sat there in the emergency room. And I said, they wanted the Catholic priest. He said, okay. He stood in there and he did the holy anointing, which used to be called last rites. He did the holy anointing. And when he did the holy anointing, he looked over at me and he says, when she dies, don't call me. And I said, excuse me? He said, I've already done all I'm going to do. It's yours, buddy. And he left. And that day, somebody died on every floor. And that day, I ministered to every one of them, including that Catholic woman, when she died, to her family. What we do is real. It's not some candy-wandy mess. It's not some mamby-pamby stuff. It's real. People are hurting out there. And we're called to be ministers to them. It's very powerful. It's a powerful thing. And if Satan can, he'll keep us so caught up in ourselves that we don't see what's going on around us. We are out here to make a difference. So high five number three. Get ready. Listen. I'm getting ready. I'm going to make this quick. Ready? High five number three. God is able to deliver us. We need a faith that is always subject to the divine will of God. You see, our lives are always subject to God. These three men knew that God was able, and we need a faith that knows that God is able, but also realize that we are subject to His divine will. He may do it or He may not. He may take care of business or He may listen. His business may be to take you on to the other side. You know, I remember my mama. They called my mama Rubber Ball. My mama lived a lot longer than she should have lived. They called her Rubber Ball all the time because when she was at her deathbed, she would bounce back. But there come a time when she didn't bounce back. God has a will. Remember that. Number four, but He will deliver us out of your hand. Oh, I love this. Ready? We need a faith that knows that God will deliver us from the hand of the enemy. Watch the difference here. Watch this. Here it is. There's a difference in the furnace and the hand of the enemy. Here it is. First they said God is able to deliver us from the furnace, but God will deliver us from your hand. He can take us from the furnace, yes, but He will take us from your hand. You see, they have resolved that God's got this. No matter what, God's got this. God has got this. You know, I walk around right now and I see things that's going on and I know things that are happening all over the place. And as a counselor, I've got involved in several families and got involved in some training and involved in helping some folks and I can't believe some of the stuff I'm seeing and even at the detention center, some of the stuff that we hear, it just blows my mind. You know, I remember when I first started preaching. And I remember when I first started preaching, the trouble that the pastors used to go through and the churches used to go through. I remember all that stuff. And I used to say, God, please deliver us. And now, in this day and time, honestly, I wish we could go back to that stuff. When I was in school, I got in trouble for shooting spitballs and shooting rubber bands and popping milk cartons and popping people with a ruler, you know, and that seemed bad back then. I did a lot of detention. Believe it or not, I know you don't believe it. But now they have undercover officers in there to take care of people selling drugs. And youngers are being raped right there in school and all the stuff that's going on. People would love to go back to the days when all they had to worry about was spitballs. See, watch this though. Here it is. Get ready to close. I know this seems kind of, I'm not, as a matter of fact, I even asked the Lord, why am I even preaching this today? It may be a week, it may be 2 weeks, it may be 3 weeks, but one day it's going to hit you. You're going to go, wow, now it makes sense. Number five, even if he doesn't, we're not going to serve your God. So we need a faith that will be committed to God regardless of the outcome. You know, so many times we put conditions on God. God, if you do this, we'll do this. God, if you do this, we'll do this. God, if you do this, I'll serve you. God, if you do this, I'll do what? And God's saying, wait a minute. I want someone who will say, I'll serve you because I love you. I'll follow you because I love you. I'll live for you because I love you. Listen. God's looking for somebody who don't care what happens to them as long as God is glorified. Amen? Now, just quickly, I'm getting ready to close. So y'all looking like y'all want to be left alone. Get ready. Here we go. Ready? Come on, buddy. You can do it. There you go. I remember as a young Christian, I'd heard a preacher preaching about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and how God delivered them through the fire, and I got all fired up and I was so excited. And I said, wow, that's an awesome, awesome story. And then the day came when I was in the fire. And when that awesome story became a reality, it was no longer awesome. I hated it. I hated being in the fire. I hated what was going on. I couldn't see that God was working in me. I couldn't see all that. All I could see was the fire. And it hurt. And it burnt. And I said, wait a minute, where's all these stories at? And then it hit me. Watch this. I love this story. The Bible says that their names, let's go back to their Hebrew names, okay? Their Hebrew names is their testimony. As they're walking around inside, I can hear them talking as they're calling each other's name. Watch this. Run us through. Shadrach is Hananiah, which means Jehovah has favored. Meshach is Mishael, which means who is like our God. Abednego is Azariah, which means Jehovah has helped. As they're walking around in that fire, here's our testimony. Jehovah has favored us. Who is like our God? Jehovah has helped. And the proof of it was Jesus Christ was walking right along with them. Amen? I want y'all to think about this. Say it with me. Listen. God has favored us. God has favored us. Who is like God? Jehovah has helped. Amen. Listen, not a hair was singed, not a coat was changed. Listen, the coats, there was nothing wrong with the coats. There wasn't a hair singed. When they come out, you couldn't even tell they'd been in the fire. Now when I go in the fire, it still hurts. But at the same time, I go in with a different expectation. And that is, now I go in there because now I've seen God. And I thank Him for it. God is doing something special. Right now, again, when I walked in this morning, God said, you got to minister to some folks that have had all they can take. You got to minister to some folks who have gotten to the point where they're just going to do whatever it takes to get it, and that's it. You got to minister to some folks that even don't want to do it anymore. We got to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Come on up here, DC. You got to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It don't matter what you do to me. I'm still going to serve God. It doesn't matter what you say, I'm still going to give it my all. Matter of fact, here's what I got for you. Don't give up. Don't give in. Strength is coming. Something special is on the way. Don't give up. Don't give in. Strength is coming. Something special is on the way. I want everybody to stand. I'm just going to make a general altar call. You got a need in your life. The altar's open. You want to talk to God, the altar's open. You feel like throwing your hands up, the altar's open. You feel like you're doing it all by yourself, the altar's open. You feel like you need some help before you pull your hair out, the altar's open. You feel like you're carrying the whole load, the altar's open. You don't know what to do, the altar's open. You're distressed, the altar's open. You need strength, the altar's open. You need wisdom, the altar's open. The altar's open. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. It's not time to give up. It's not time to give in. It's time to get a new grip. It's time to get a new grip. God's sending help. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. Hold on. Hold on. The Lord showed me this is the last time. This is the last time. This is the last time. Hold on. Hold on. Something special's coming. Hold on. This is the last time. Help is on the way. Be like Gideon. Go from saying, where are you, God, to bring it on. Go ahead, Satan. Bring it on. Bring it on. I'm ready. I'm ready. God, we love you. We thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Everybody's pray together. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. Many things have happened that is trying to take the fight out of us. Father, help us get back in the fight and give all we got. Husbands, I challenge you. Ask your wives what you can do to help. Wives, I challenge you, ask your husbands what you can do to help. I challenge you, ask somebody up here at the church, what can you do to help? Get back in the fight. Get back in the fight. We're not in this alone. Get back in the fight. Something good is coming. This is the last time. This is the last time that you'll see it, this slack. God's coming. God's bringing the heat. It's on the way. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. It's happening. We can't see it, but it's happening. It's happening in such a way that when it does take place, we'll know that it's God. It's happening. And we thank Him for it. In the name of Jesus, we love You, Lord. We praise Your name. And the church said, amen. Brother Benny.
Well, thank You, Father, for everything You've done for us, for the guiding which You have given us, and the caring when we could not walk, for being there when all seemed lost. And thank You, Lord, for this weekend and how You helped bring closure to so many. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.